As people of faith, we learn that the divine, the great mystery, is present with us in our wondering. I did a lot of wondering this week about whether I should be addressing wonder this morning, as in awe and wonder, or wonder, as in I wonder why this happened to me, why this happened to us, to our country, to our world. I still don't know for sure which wonder we are reflecting on today, but here's my amalgamation of the ways wonder has impacted me over my lifetime. When I was very young, my wondering and sometimes wandering mind, of its own volition, it seemed, tended toward negative wonderings based on some of the things I was taught as a child. I was preoccupied by questions like, would I be good enough to get to heaven? Would the second coming take place before I was old enough to get married and have children? Would someone close to me die prematurely? None of these wonderings brought me to a place of happiness, and I became a very anxious child. Eventually, I wondered how I would continue to navigate my life when my boyfriend died after my sophomore year of high school, and again after my 18-year-old brother died when I was 28 years old. The births of our two children in the 1970s brought good wonder, as in awe, to my life. And in the mid-90s, when I first began to receive spiritual direction, I became acquainted with authors who taught me more about the positive side of wonder. Flora Slauson Wilner's writing revealed that tendon wounds can become sources of new life and indeed the channel of healing for others, that fear, when healed, becomes compassion, that destructive anger becomes a passion for justice and righteousness, that perfectionism becomes joyous power to build and create. Other amazing writers like Jan Richardson offered wondrous new learnings, including the observation that each moment holds the possibility of encountering the sacred. Waking, eating, reading the paper, working, playing, talking, doing laundry, doing dishes, doing errands, doing nothing. All of these interactions invite us to wonder how God is with us and who God becomes for us. In my older age, positive wonder comes much more easily, with four grandchildren now on the scene who open the door to delight in many age-appropriate ways as they continue to learn and grow. Nature has taken on a robust capacity to offer seasonal awe and wonder. My love of writing and photography continues to accelerate in these retirement years. I am awed at the privilege of journeying with directees and sharing community with family and friends. As G.K. Chesterton suggests, at the back of our brains, so to speak, there is a forgotten blaze or burst of astonishment at our own existence. The object of the artistic and spirited life is to dig for this submerged sunrise of wonder.
Morning. We have two scriptures to read today, and I'll be reading from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4a. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him.
John 3, 1 to 17. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see a kingdom of God without being born again. How can anyone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Last week, on the first Sunday of Lent, our conference minister, Dan Miller, talked with us about Jesus' temptations. Dan invited us to name our hunger for God and to practice the spiritual disciplines that gave Jesus the strength for his journey on the earth and his relationship with God. Now, perhaps you took up Dan's invitation to practice one or more of these disciplines this week. You may recall that he suggested that practicing these regularly as if we were training would allow us to focus less on the technicalities of living faith and over time allow us to see a new journey, and our walk with Christ would become second nature as we walk in the world. We become more alert to the Spirit of Christ moving in the world, and then we can live freely and openly, sensing God walking with us, guiding our actions and our words. And he talked about hunger and practicing fasting as one way to listen for God in the midst of the noise and busyness, the materialism, the threats and fear of the world around us. Well, this morning, Merv offered this morning as we started the call to worship, and then Sherry and Kirby offered these two scriptures, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. The Old, the story of Abraham, and the New, the story of the account of this man named Nicodemus. Well, this morning we're going to focus mostly on that Nicodemus story, and I want to invite you to ponder with me what it means to wonder, to be curious, to ask questions, and also to be willing to let go of certainty. Now that's hard, isn't it? Letting go of certainty. Black and white thinking. What might it mean during this Lenten season to open yourself up to trust in God in new ways for this next phase of your life journey? Regardless of what your age or your experience might be, to open yourself up to think new ways about your relationship with God. What might that mean to open yourself up to the Spirit of God in new ways? You might have noticed that in the scripture, Nicodemus asked, how can anyone be born when they are old? To open ourselves up to new ways of thinking. You know, one of the things that has been hard for me to get used to being a pastor, and this confronted me early in my ministry, but continues to be my experience now many years later, I'm regularly humbled by how few times I'm able to offer a very clear or definitive answer to the most pressing questions that people are wrestling with. If I'm honest, I rarely feel I have definitive answers to your hard life questions, and oftentimes my own. I guess early on, and there is this stereotype maybe of pastors, I thought somehow, or rather as a pastor, if I prayed enough, if I read my Bible enough, if I listened enough, if I talked with others enough, if I read enough books, if I went to enough workshops, that I would have profound answers to people's questions of faith and life. But I have not found this to be the case. I am humbled by this reality. Now, this is not a news flash to any of you who have come to me looking for answers and you haven't gotten them. And I guess it's a warning to any of you who come to me and expect any answers. I hope you have received and will receive an empathetic ear, someone who will explore the possibilities or the options with you on your life path, or to reflect on what is happening, maybe in a way that you find a way forward or some new angles. But again, don't expect answers. Instead, what I've learned is that when it comes to answering questions of faith and practice in life, one size just doesn't seem to always fit all. It doesn't fit what may be right and good for what fits for one life or one marriage or one situation might not be right for the other. And life and faith are not mathematical equations or science experiments where if one puts good data into the computer, one can expect a similar outcome every time. It's just not that easy. It's just not that easy to write good policy to cover all situations where people's lives are at the center. And why is that? Well, one can rationalize that it's just because there are so many variables in different people's lives and in our culture as in our world, and certainly that would be true. But sometimes I wonder, too, if it doesn't have to do with this incredible mystery of God's love. And when we, as beloved children of God, God's creation, when each of us is ready to see ourselves as such, as beloved children of God. And we are able to then walk out of the darkness of the things that bind us and into the light of that incredible gift of God's love. And then our path becomes a little bit clearer. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a Jewish religious leader of the day. And in fact, our John text this morning says he was a member of the ruling council of the Jewish people. He came to Jesus in the cover of night. He came to have a conversation about who Jesus was. The first question I ask as I read this passage is, why did he come at night? Some would say that Nicodemus was suspicious of Jesus, and so he came to trap him, to gather information that could be used against him, to call him out so that he could go back to his colleagues so that he might catch Jesus in his words. Maybe that's why he came in the middle of the night. Now, to be truthful, we probably will never know why he came at night. Maybe he was afraid that his friends would see him in the company of such a person as Jesus. This is one of the mysteries of the Bible, as there are many mysteries of the Bible. But I prefer to think of Nicodemus in a little bit different way. I prefer to see him as a curious person, a person who is wondering and seeking and trying to find what it is that gives Jesus the authority that he does and the capacity to be able to teach and to heal in such an incredible way that draws so many people to him. He was amazed at what Jesus was preaching and doing, how Jesus was turning the laws of the scripture upside down and inside out, interpreting the traditions of the scripture in totally different ways than he had grown up with. And he was healing people, all kinds of people. Regardless of where they came from or what their sin or condition was, Jesus didn't seem to care where they came from or what they had been into. If when Jesus asked them if they wanted to be healed and they believed, he would touch them and their lives would change. So I prefer to see Nicodemus as a learner, a wanderer, a man who saw this incredible teacher, Jesus, and wondered where his power came from. Surely he must come from God, Nicodemus said. Otherwise, how could he do the things that he has done? And this was the premise with which Nicodemus came to Jesus in the darkness. But before he could ask a question, Jesus anticipated his wondering and took the conversation to a totally different level from what Nicodemus came. Jesus said, "Let's talk about seeing the kingdom of God and being born from above." Did you know that phrase that many Christians have often used, born again? And it's what our scripture says, born again. Did you know that it can be translated in three different ways? Born again, born anew, or if you look at the little superscript on the word and then look at the bottom of your page in your pew Bible, you can see that it's born from above. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Jesus gave Nicodemus this strange response, saying that he must be born from above. Well, we catch a glimpse then of Nicodemus as a rather black and white thinker, one focused on the facts of the realities just right in front of him, these earthly things. And so he asks the question, how can I be born again out of my mother's womb? Black and white thinking, two-dimensional thinking. Jesus invites him, as Merv said, to the bigger picture. You must be born from above. What does that mean? What does that mean? You must be born from above. Well, this becomes an interesting conversation between Nicodemus, our wanderer, and Jesus about the spirit and the flesh and the wind as it blows of earthly things and heavenly things. I couldn't help but think back to this worship series that we just had on the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's intricate connection with the Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit being one and the same. Because this conversation, this teaching that Jesus offers to Nicodemus in response to his question about authority in the kingdom of God, it highlights that close relationship between Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, dancing three in one, simultaneously. So what is Jesus doing? What is Jesus doing? For one, maybe he's inviting Nicodemus to think beyond the black and white. Beyond the black and white. The two-dimensional thinking that he could rationalize and prove. Maybe it's an invitation to Nicodemus to come out of the darkness, to open himself to the winds of the Spirit of God. If he could open himself up to this realm, perhaps then he would have some understanding of who Jesus really was. Now, in your reflection time this coming week, when you are practicing or exercising your prayer muscles or your Bible reading muscles, I invite you to read that chapter 3 that Kirby read for us and look for those interrelationships of the Trinity going back and forth and around in a circle, God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and how closely they are connected. And tell me if you think perhaps Jesus is not only responding to Nicodemus's wondering about Jesus' authority, but inviting Nicodemus and whoever else was listening to open themselves to walk out of the darkness and into the light of a new dimension. This dimension would be a spirit-filled relationship with God, a new and always renewing birth, one that did not live by the rules and proofs of earth, but in the freedom and hope of new life in Christ, in God, in the Spirit. Lent is a season for reflecting, wondering about areas of our lives that might need to come out of the darkness, exposed to the new light. In Jesus' response to Nicodemus, he reminds us of the source of this new life, and it is the ultimate love of God. As we are ready to release control of our lives to God and are open to being vulnerable, then we can give God an opportunity to change us and renew us. We give God the opportunity to be healed, to heal us of the scars that we have that we carry with us. In the light of day, as we offer ourselves to receive God's love for us, we open ourselves to healing and to hope. Brené Brown is a social science research professor at the University of Houston. She is an author, and her TED Talk, if you're familiar with TED Talks, her TED Talk on YouTube on vulnerability is one of the top 5 most viewed TED Talks in the world, with over 25 million views. She has interviewed thousands of people on the topics of vulnerability, shame, worthiness, and courage. If you haven't ever viewed her TED Talk on vulnerability, you may want to. Or you may just want to read your Bible at a deeper level, because it's there too. I'm always fascinated when social science comes up with countercultural, counterintuitive statements and findings that sound an awful lot like what a deeper reading of the scriptures also tells us about God and human creation, about the kingdom of God, about God's dream for the world, about truth, and in this case, it tells us about the words of Jesus to Nicodemus. Brené Brown says, if we want greater clarity in our purpose or deeper and more meaningful spiritual lives, vulnerability is the path. If we want greater clarity in our purpose or deeper and more meaningful spiritual lives, vulnerability is the path. She goes on to say, vulnerability is the birthplace. We were talking about new birth, right? She says it is the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, and creativity. It is the source of hope, empathy, accountability, and authenticity. Does that remind you of what Jesus was inviting Nicodemus to? She says that people who live lives of worthiness and wholeness fully embrace vulnerability, their own vulnerability. We aren't afraid to come out of the darkness and into the light. She says, when we numb the hard things of life, we numb joy, we numb gratitude, we numb happiness, and we lack purpose and meaning. Now you might ask, how do we numb the hard things? What do we do when we are numbing the hard things? And how does that manifest itself in our lives? Sometimes we numb things through addictions. Sometimes we numb things by demanding certainty. Sometimes we numb things by blaming others. Sometimes we numb things by controlling. And sometimes we numb things by expecting ourselves to be perfect, always to do good, to do the right thing. God is so aware of the scars and wounds of our lives, the hurt and the pain and the fear in our lives and in our world. We live in an increasing time of information overload. And even though we have more information than we can ever possibly use at our fingertips, looking for the answers to our most basic questions for our own life directions can be quite confusing. And it can be incredibly anxiety-producing if we view life as only what we can see before us in these two dimensions within which we live on the earth. Jesus invites us to step out of the darkness and into the light, to receive God's love for us and be set free to new places of joy and hope, even in the midst of darkness. To be set free, to be nurtured by God's love and transformed by the Spirit of God. To be able to see the kingdom of God, God's dream in the wonder of each moment, each hour, each day. To experience the love of God and to wonder in what God is doing in the world. Franciscan Richard Rohr says, once you have allowed yourself to be vulnerable and received infinite grace, you will always find ways to let the love flow through you, serving others. Read that again. Once you have allowed yourself to be vulnerable and received infinite grace, that ultimate source of love, you will always find ways to let the love flow through you, serving others. Now, perhaps in some way you feel like you have been living in the darkness, afraid of the light. Perhaps you have been ashamed of some aspect of your life. Perhaps you have secrets that you wish you could release. Perhaps you have been wondering if there are aspects of your life that you could change. Perhaps you've been haunted by a need to be perfect. Be assured you don't need to have all the answers before you let go and let God begin anew in your life. Because God loves you just the way that you are. God loves me just the way that I am and will continue to transform me as I open myself to God and to God's ultimate source of love in new ways. I am so thankful that as a pastor, I don't have to have all the answers to the world's problems. And in fact, we don't even have to solve them all together. I'm thankful that God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are present in the world and ready to love and rebirth all that you and I together might be ready to allow the Spirit to move us toward. From our darkness into the light. God is with us in all our wondering and our uncertainty. God is with us. As we prepare for a time of silence together this morning to reflect on these things, I want to, and to what you might want to bring out in the open to God this morning, I'd like to share a music video that I stumbled onto this past week as I was preparing for the sermon. I just Googled out of the darkness and into the light, and I stumbled onto this video. Perhaps many of you know it. It's called a song called Marvelous Light, recorded by Ellie Holcomb. And I just enjoyed watching the authenticity of the joy and the freedom of the everyday friends and people, of children and people of all ages in this video. And I think it expresses so well the joy of rebirth that comes when we are vulnerable and open to God and the Holy Spirit in our lives. So perhaps we can view it together as an invitation to be vulnerable with God and with one another so that we might find new joy in the Spirit.